Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Powered by you.
Hello, hello.
Listener supported.
This is the Relevant Radio Summer Pledge Drive. Answer the call.
Good morning and welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show. Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. Let us begin in prayer. Today is the third day of our five-day pledge drive. We are a little past the middle point yet, and we are asking the Lord to bless us with our need for $3 million to stay fully funded for the next quarter. So let's turn in prayer to Our Lady, asking her to pray with us and for us, for all of our intentions, including your own. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, young Cyrus, are you ready? Are you ready?
I am ready. Are you ready? Let's do this.
What do they say? I was born ready. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I like that.
Pledge drive. You know, pledge drive is always like a huge mountain looming in the distance, that $3 million mountain. And I always approach it thinking, oh my gosh, how are we going to make it? And then, because of God's grace and our listeners' generosity, we do make it.
You are correct, sir. Yes.
Yes. My number to be on the air, if you want to call in with a comment or question, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Young Thomas tells me that a caller asked if I could repeat book titles more times than just at the beginning of talking about it. Oh, good gracious. I think I say the book title 5-6 times. Every time I mention a book title, I repeat it. And I'm fearful of repeating it more often than that.
And we post them on Twitter and on the show page.
We post them.
And you can listen to the podcast.
Because people will write in or they'll call and say, what was that book title? So when I'm giving you a book title, how about this, caller? When I give you a book title, I already do repeat the title any number of times. So just, you know, maybe have a pen handy. Because I'm, you know, that's something I tend to do a lot of. I tend to recommend books that I think would be helpful to you. But please note, you can always go back, even if you didn't jot the title down, just go to the show page, relevantradio.com/Patrick, and you'll see on the right side the Twitter feed. And you might have to do a bit of scrolling if some time has gone by, but you'll find links to the books with pictures and the whole thing. So it's as easy as pie. Winner, chicken dinner.
I met a really nice lady at the Patrick Madrid Experience, you know, the couple mm-hmm. Saturdays ago, and mm-hmm. she showed me her notebook for the Patrick Madrid show, and it was like a
for the show.
Oh. It was like a 500 page little notebook.
Wow.
It was like a pocket notebook, but it was really thick, and her penmanship was tiny, and the thing was packed.
Girls, women always have better handwriting than men. That's been my experience. Nancy's handwriting is way better than mine. Your wife's handwriting is probably way better than yours.
Oh, you know it.
Is it genetic? What do you think it is, that men's handwriting tends not to be as good as women's?
I don't know. Mine's chicken scratch.
Hmm.
I can't read my own notes. That's how bad my notes are.
I'm impressed by the assiduousness of that listener who fills a notebook, which could be used against me, you know, if the Antichrist takes over. You know, we have a notebook of all the things you said about Jesus. Let's turn to that, shall we? You know, I like that old saying. If being a Catholic, being a Christian, were illegal, would there be enough evidence to convict you of the crime? You ever thought of it that way? Cyrus is musing. He's thinking about that. 888-914-9149. I have a pile of emails. I'll get to those. First, though, why don't we go to Robert in Arcata, California. Good morning, Robert.
Hi, Patrick. My question is, a couple of weeks ago, you talked to a child about dinosaurs and that, mm-hmm. and the timeline of being millions of years old, and that was your theory kind of on why the older creation instead of in just 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a problem with the fossilization record because If you look up on the internet, fossilized thorns, you'll see many, many records of thorns that have been fossilized. And we know thorns didn't come into existence until God cursed the ground. And so it couldn't have been millions of years ago. It had to be thousands of years ago. And on like dinosaurs and stuff, God brought all the animals to Adam to be named. Does that mean he brought Brontosaurus Rex, or Brontosaurus and T-Rex and all them to him? It doesn't make sense. Being millions of years old, but only thousands of years old, because fossils are formed by being entombed in sediment and then under high pressure.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar
so
with that.
So that could only happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me give you an answer. Yeah, let me give you an answer. First of all, let's just start with the premise. I approach the topic based on the premise that scientific inquiry has shown us that the Earth and many of the things that we find, like fossils, are far older than a mere 6,000 years and change. And there's no conflict between scientific evidence to that effect and the biblical revelation that God created all these things. So you're alluding to the creation account in Genesis 1 and 2. And I fully accept it. I embrace it fully. I believe it. The church herself says that it's not intended to be understood in a strictly literal way. It is truly literal that God did create all these things directly or indirectly, and we certainly do have two first parents, Adam and Eve. So none of that is called into question. But rather, these apparent conundrums like thorns and other things like that, they're easily resolved if one way to look at it is that in the province or the domain of the unfallen Garden of Eden, in which Adam and Eve lived and thrived for who knows how long, there were no thorns or thistles. And this, of course, was one of the maledictions that God pronounced in Genesis chapter 3, along with pain in childbirth and all the other curses that God pronounced. It doesn't mean that the world, if we want to think of it in those terms, that the world outside of the Garden of Eden, that may have been going for who knows how many billions of years, and creatures coming into and going out of existence and all the other things that may have happened, those could have been taking place according to that timeline. And Adam and Eve were preserved from that in this ideal state of the Garden of Eden, where there were no thorns or thistles. And that would not necessitate that Adam had to name every last crawling insect or every last species of dinosaur or anything of that nature. It could be understood that he named a preponderance of animals, but he didn't have to literally name every single last one of them species. That's not necessitated by the text. So these are only apparent conundrums, Robert. They're not actual problems. And the church's harmony between science and divine revelation is preserved. It's not upended simply because thorns. And that's a topic I'm not familiar with, so that's a new one to me. But that in itself doesn't pose any kind of a contradiction or a problem, properly understood.
Well, it says that the ground was cursed, not just the ground in Garden of Eden, but the ground was cursed. I mean, whether you're in the Garden of Eden or out of the Garden of Eden, the ground was cursed. So that's kind of the problem I have.
Oh, I understand the problem. I truly do. But there's a bigger problem, and that is that we should not be afraid of what science shows us, because as the church says, Pope John Paul II, he wrote an entire, I believe it was an encyclical letter, Fides et Ratio, Faith and Reason, in which he demonstrates the harmony between scientific inquiry and what we learn from natural revelation and what we learn from divine revelation, say through the Holy Bible or from Jesus himself. There is no conflict between the two. In fact, maybe that would be a good place, if I can recommend, if you want to read more, read that encyclical by Pope John Paul II of blessed memory, Fides et Ratio, Faith and Reason. And if you want something a little more bite-sized, I would recommend a book that was written by Pope Benedict XVI, Joseph Ratzinger, called In the Beginning. And that is a meditation on what the primordial earth was like in Adam and Eve and things associated with that. That, too, I think would give you just some more food for thought, if nothing else. I wish we could talk more, Robert, but I do have to take a break. So thank you for being first off with a great question today. I look forward to talking to you again. For the moment, though, being in Pledge Drive, we're going to hear a message right now from Father Rocky.
Hi, this is Father Rocky, the executive director of Relevant Radio and the host of the Family Rosary Across America. If you listen to the Family Rosary, you know I've repeated the words of Venerable Father Patrick Peyton many times. A family that prays together stays together. Now, you may be too young to remember Father Peyton, but he was known as the Rosary Priest, and his Rosary Prayer Book is the most complete prayer book of meditations on the mysteries of the Rosary today. Our special thank you gifts today only at the dollar day level are Father Peyton's Rosary Prayer Book and a Rosary Bookmark. I want this book and bookmark, and you will too. See it for yourself at relevantradio.com. Give a dollar a day, that's $3.65 for the year, and you'll receive both the Father Peyton Rosary Meditation Book and the Rosary Bookmark. Give a dollar a day now at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. Or you can call us at 877-291-0123.
You might be asking yourself, what? A rosary bookmark made with crystals? You really have to stop by the website and see this. It is absolutely gorgeous. Today and today only is the day you can get this lovely, lovely rosary bookmark. Stop by the website. It's relevantradio.com. Use the app on your smartphone or tablet or call 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. And all we're asking is a dollar a day, and you will get this lovely bookmark along with the book, Father Peyton's Rosary Prayer Book.
Yeah, Father Peyton, you may remember this, Mary. He was the one who coined the phrase, the family that prays together stays together. And his rosary crusades all across America, he was really, really effective in getting people to pray the rosary. And I think it's become something of a lost art. So today, our middle of the week day during Pledge Drive, this is a way to assist you in, if you're already praying the rosary, a great way to pray it, especially when you're on the go. But if you haven't been in the habit of praying the rosary, this is a great prompt for you to begin praying the rosary. And if you maybe are looking for some more family unity, some more harmony in your home, maybe less strife, try praying the rosary as a family. I grew up doing it. You may have done the same thing, Mary, but it's a powerful, powerful, indeed, it's a weapon, and it is very powerful. And we want to give you this rosary when you make your pledge of a dollar a day, 877-291-0123.
That's 877-291-0123, 877-291-0123, relevantradio.com, using the app on your smartphone or tablet. And when you call in, we want to hear some things from you. We want to know, how can we pray for you? Let us know what your prayer needs are. We take these very seriously, and throughout the staff, we pray for your needs from Pledge Drive to Pledge Drive. We also want to know, how has Relevant Radio impacted you and changed your life? So we want to hear from you at 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. And of course, if you give online at relevantradio.com or by using the app on your smartphone or tablet, not only is it fast, quick, and easy, you get your name spelled correctly, but we will send you our brand new MP3 download. It's been recorded by Father Rocky, and it's Cardinal Dolan's 10 Resolutions for Eucharistic Revival. Easy for me to say, right? It's all yours when you visit and make your gift at relevantradio.com using the app on your smartphone or tablet, or when you call 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. Remember, today's the only day for this bookmark, and there is a limited number. Make your gift and make it early.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
Man, this is a golden oldie. I like this.
Yeah.
This brings me back to what, 1971, something like that? All right, 888-914-9149. We're going to get back to the phone calls. My number again, 888-914-9149. Let's go to Julie in Portland, Maine. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Patrick. Speaking of the rosary, so I'm Catholic. My husband is Protestant. He does come to Mass with me sometimes, and I've seen him pick up the Missalette and look particularly at the Memorare prayer that we have in the front of our Missalette there. And, you know, even as a Catholic, Patrick, I'm very poor at explaining the accusation, if you will, that Catholics worship Mary. And I know we don't. I just know it. But I don't have a good way of explaining that we don't, in fact. You know, she's not on the same level as Jesus. And when you look at some of the words, you know, I objectively tried to look at the Memorare, and I'm like, well, I could see where some of the words in that prayer particularly might be confusing. You know, we come to her sinful and sorrowful, and it's like, I think for a lot of Protestants, they're like, no, you only go to Jesus with your sins. You don't go to her. So I can kind of see where they think we do worship her. And I just really would like a great way of explaining how that is not the case.
Okay.
And then also real quick, if you have a second, I'm just curious who wrote Genesis. So those are my two questions.
Okay. Well, that's an easier one to just in terms of time. So why don't I start there? The traditional view is that Moses wrote at least the core of the first five books of the Bible. So Genesis, Exodus, etc. So those, they call it the Pentateuch because of the number five. So those first five books of the Bible, it's generally understood that Moses wrote them in some form. Now, there appear to have been other editors or redactors later on, and they added to those books, they embellished them, and Scripture scholars can point out where, see here in the text, there seems to be a shift in the editorial approach to the topic. So you have a Deuteronomic editor, a Yahwist editor, etc. So we could say Moses, but we also would include the people who redacted and expanded it. Who they were,
okay,
we don't know.
You.
Okay. So as for Mary, let's look at it this way. If you approach the Catholic Church in her devotion to Mary, like I was talking about a week or two ago, like looking at the stained glass windows outside, if you're, let's say, at some beautiful cathedral, and the stained glass windows from the outside appear meaningless and drab, and there's no color, there's no beauty. It's really only once you go inside and you see the stained glass windows with the light streaming through them that suddenly they begin to have meaning, and you see the color and you see the beauty. And I'm not at all surprised when somebody like your husband, for example, somebody of goodwill who just wants to know the truth and is wondering, for him, it, from where he's looking at this from, it appears strange. And it does perhaps look as though, well, gosh, they place so much emphasis on Mary. Why are they doing that? And are they worshiping her? And what about these words and these prayers and things like that? So I want to begin my answer by saying I understand that somebody of goodwill like your husband would have that reaction to it. But if you go deeper, what you'll see is that this is, number one, in the case of the Memorare, this is not Catholics approaching Mary to forgive our sins. It doesn't say that at all. Before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. What this means is it's an objective declaration of our circumstances. So I am a sinner. And she is not, by the way. This is something that God gave her a special grace for. Just as he gave Adam and Eve the special grace of not being sinners, Adam and Eve were the first immaculate conceptions in the Garden of Eden. They were utterly sinless before the fall. And all the saints in heaven are sinless as well. But Mary herself is sinless. So when we in the prayer acknowledge that we are sinners, we're simply saying what the Bible says about us. We're not perfected in grace yet. And so this is bound up in the prayer, asking her to pray for us. Why do we need her to pray for us? Because we're sinners, and we acknowledge that. And we're not in that prayer asking her to forgive our sins. Obviously, only God does that, and he does it through the ministry of the priests in terms of the sacrament of confession or baptism or holy anointing. But we recognize that only God himself can forgive sins. So this prayer, the Memorare, it's, if you look at it from the standpoint of how it's intended to be understood, how it's intended to be prayed, you realize, oh, okay, well, this is simply asking a member of the body of Christ to pray for us. Now, there is a four-step process that I outline biblically, Julie, in an article that I wrote, and it's available for free if you want to go to relevantradio.com/Patrick. Click on links, and there you'll see articles. And the article I would draw your attention to is called Any Friend of God's is a Friend of Mine. And I'll summarize what in this much longer article I have to say so that you can get a sense. And when you read the article, I think you'll find that it will be helpful for your husband and for you. The first thing to remember is that the church is the body of Christ. And there are many passages that emphasize this. I like 1 Corinthians chapter 12 an awful lot because it's a long passage talking about how the church is the body of Christ. And St. Paul says, God placed the parts, each one of them, in the body as he intended. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. Nor again, the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. God has so constructed the body as to give greater honor to a part that is without it, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the parts may have the same concern one for another. And there he's saying, one part of the body cannot say, I don't need you. So that's the first step. The church is the body of Christ. Second step is, as it says there and in Romans 12 and elsewhere, there's only one body of Christ. There aren't two bodies of Christ, like one in heaven where Mary and the saints are, and then the one that we're in here. The church has, rather, Jesus has only one body. And what that means is that all of us in this life and those in purgatory and those in heaven are all members of the same body at the same time. And that leads to the third step, and that is that we're not separated from Jesus through death. And there are many passages that emphasize this. One that I like a lot is Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, where St. Paul gives us a list of things. He says, these cannot separate you from the love of Christ. He says, I'm convinced that neither heights nor depths, nor peril, nor nakedness, nor famine, nor the sword, not even death, he says, can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. So the point in this third section, or this third step, is that death does not separate us from the saints in heaven. When somebody dies and goes to heaven and is a saint, and we're saints too in a biblical sense in this life as well, but in that sense, they're perfected in righteousness, they see God face to face, and yet we're still members of that same body with them because death doesn't sever that, doesn't change that status. Then the fourth step is simply that we're all called by Scripture to pray for each other. In fact, there's a standing command in 1 Timothy chapter 2 where St. Paul says that we are to supplicate and pray and petition and intercede for everyone. He says this is good and pleasing to God our Savior. So we have here and elsewhere this command to pray for each other. So there's no reason to think, there's certainly no biblical reason to think that when Mary and the saints get to heaven, that suddenly they just shut that off. Like, okay, I'm done with that. I'm not going to pray for them anymore. I'm done. Yeah. You know, why would they do that? So as you read through this article, what you'll see is there are countless Bible verses that point to the point that I'm aiming at here. And that is that the truly biblical presentation of our relationship to Mary and the saints is we're members of the same body of Christ. They have powerful prayers in heaven. And when we ask her to pray for us, it's no more worshiping her than it is if I called you up and said, hey, would you please pray for me? I'm not worshiping you. I'm asking you to pray for me. Now, there's more, and there are many other questions and whatnot, but let's start there, Julie, shall we? I'm out of time. So get that article. Go to relevantradio.com/Patrick. Click on links. Click on articles. And the one you want is Any Friend of God's is a Friend of Mine. I'll be right back.
You will not believe how gorgeous our gift is that we have available for you today.
How gorgeous is our gift today, Mary?
Oh, it is just breathtaking. I absolutely love it. And you can see it when you visit our website. It is a bookmark. It's like, how do I describe this? It's a bookmark but it's got a rosary beads attached to it, and it's beautiful. So when you put it in your Bible or in your book, the rosary is going to hang on the back side of the binder. It is absolutely gorgeous, and it's made with, let's see if I can say this right, hematite rosary beads. And you might be thinking, hey, wait a minute, that's like what I have a jewelry made out of. Yes, the same things, that nice heavyweight beads. They're beautiful. You can see it when you visit the website, relevantradio.com, or if you open up the app on your smartphone or tablet. And all we're asking is $1 a day. We'll send you that as our thank you gift. But remember, it is today and today only, and there is a limited number available.
Indeed, there are. And when we have no more left, it will be because everybody said, oh, I want that, by giving $1 a day or more when they call 877-291-0123. And just like anything else, you don't want to be left out. And it's a small price to pay for knowing that you're keeping Relevant Radio going strong 24/7. We only do that with your generosity. So make that call now, 877-291-0123, or go to relevantradio.com, or use the Relevant Radio app. Or if you'd like to be super generous, use all three. Make three donations, and we will gladly accept them. But that's how we can make sure that you get your rosary bookmark before they're all gone.
We want to say thank you to Paul in Phoenix for your dollar a day. You're getting the rosary bookmark along with the book from Father Payton, Rosary Prayer Book. And we want to say thank you so much to an anonymous donor in Invergrove Heights, Minnesota. Went a little bit overboard, $410. Thank you for your help. $1 a day from Paul in Phoenix. And we have $1 a day from Katrina in Scottsdale. We have $1 a day from Walter in Painesville, Minnesota. Thank you for your help and your support. Now, have you made your gift yet this pledge drive? Now is the perfect time to do it. Perhaps you gave you wanted to give something earlier in the week. You gave a 20 or 30 to kind of get things rolling on a particular hour, but you're waiting for that special moment. Today, right now, is that special moment. This bookmark is absolutely beautiful, and there is truly a limited number. We always have a limited number. I've heard there's actually an even more limited number than what we typically have. So don't think, oh, it always makes it till the end of the day. It might not this time around. RelevantRadio.com. Use the app on your smartphone or tablet, or call 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. When you answer the call, we'll send you this gorgeous bookmark for your simple gift of $1 a day.
Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com.
You're vital to our mission to bring Christ
to the world through the media.
The Relevant Radio Summer Pledge Drive continues.
Answer the call.
Yes, indeed. Answer the call. I will answer your call when you call me at 888-914-9149. I'd love to talk to you. Let's go to Scott now in Stuart, Florida. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Patrick. How are you?
I am loving life, Scott. How about you?
I don't know. They told me that you live in Chicago. I'm like, you can be loving life up there.
So what's on your mind this morning?
The snow and the ice and all that.
That's true.
So here's my question. True. I was born a Catholic, baptized a Catholic, not of my own free will, but I was baptized a Catholic. Later on in life, I became born again. Got baptized in a river by a pastor, the whole nine yards.
Let me interrupt and just to put a little footnote there. You actually got born again the Bible way when you were a little baby and you were baptized. That's how to get born again the Bible way. But anyway, go ahead. I'm following your story with bated breath.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, Nicodemus was asking Jesus about baptism, and he said baptism of the water, not being back in your mother's womb. And that was an adult stage, not a child stage.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Nicodemus totally misunderstood what Jesus meant. He said, unless you are born of water and the Holy Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We don't have to debate that point. I'm just saying that certainly from a biblical standpoint, that's when you got born again. But I understand what you mean. You gave your life to Christ. You left the Catholic Church. So I don't want to interrupt you. Go ahead.
All right. So, but here's my big take on this, and I don't think it makes me lesser than a Christian man of believing in Jesus, but I'm an avid studier of the Bible. I study the Bible daily. I read the Bible from back to front, from front to back, about a zillion times.
Okay.
And everything when it comes to the Trinity, it doesn't make sense, because everything in the Bible that I've read, Jesus addresses his Father as my Father this, my Father that, and the book of John, Ephesians, Matthew, Mark, I mean, he addresses him as my Father. And even in Revelations, when it talks about the end of the world coming, the mighty throne will be lifted down by angels, and Father God will be sitting at the center of the throne, the Holy Spirit to the left, and Jesus to the right. Well, if that's the case, then where is the foundation for the Trinity when technically there is no foundation? Now, before you say something, I can see that if we look at it and I go, I came from my dad, of my dad's seed, so my dad and I are one that way. But when I can't see that unless we're just looking at it as like hocus pocus, that when I died like Jesus and I went back to heaven, all of a sudden, I'm not really Jesus. I became God, and there's only God.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there, Scott. A lot of important questions that you're raising. Would you like me to talk a little bit about the Trinity from a biblical standpoint?
Yeah, let's hear it. Because really what it comes down to, Patrick, when we're done, is I would like to know where in the Bible I can find the Trinity.
Okay. I can help you with that, and I appreciate the sincere question. By the way, I also want to welcome you back to the Catholic Church. Anytime you want to come back, the door is open. We've left the light on for you, and we will welcome you back home, Scott. Maybe if you listen to Relevant Radio for enough time, perhaps that will happen. Please, God. So, where is the Trinity in the Bible? You won't find the word Trinity in the Bible, but you will see the following things. Number one, the Bible says over and over again that there's only one God. So Deuteronomy 6:4 is a classic passage. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. It's also known as the Shema. Mark chapter 12, verse 29, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. There are literally scores of verses that emphasize that there's just one God. Second point, the Bible says repeatedly that the Father is God. Deuteronomy 32, verse 6, Colossians 1, verse 2. Jesus referring to the Father as God, Matthew 25, verse 34, Luke 11, verses 2 and forward, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, John chapter 20, verse 17, Romans chapter 1, verse 7, and the list is quite long, but those are some examples. And don't worry, if you're not able to write these down, don't worry, because you can always go back and listen to the archive copy of the show about an hour after it's over. We also see that the Son, Jesus Christ, is also God. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 14 is a good example. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us. Also, John chapter 8, verse 58, John chapter 20, verse 28, Acts chapter 20, verse 28, refers to Jesus as God. The Holy Spirit is God, John chapter 14, verses 16 and forward. John chapter 16, 7 and forward. Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 4. Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 4. Acts chapter 21, verses 10 through 11. So, you know, simply put, we have these explicit statements that there is only one God, and that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Now, that in itself is sufficient to demonstrate the Trinity. Now, that doesn't mean that we can necessarily understand it just from that. We cannot understand all of it. But to understand it from a biblical standpoint, it's right there in black and white. And this is what the church has always taught. Now, one final thing, Scott. You mentioned when Jesus refers to the Father. Well, this is, of course, true, because in the Godhead, the Father eternally generates the Son. So the first person of the Trinity, the Father, eternally knows himself. And this is generating, you might say, like a mental image of himself. This is why John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is referring to the Son, eternally begotten of the Father, as we say in the Creed. Now, you may have a mental image in your own mind of who you are, you know, what you look like, what you sound like, your memories and thoughts. So that image that you have of yourself in your mind, it's in you, but it's also distinct from you. So in the case of the Godhead, because God's knowledge of himself is infinite, there is no limit to it, this word of himself, this image, you might say, or the logos, as the Bible says, as you probably well know, that is also infinite, that is not separate from God, like a detached, separate being, but it shares the same divine nature with the Father. So the Father and the Son together, knowing each other and loving each other, and this is where the third person of the Trinity is spirated from the Father or by the Father and the Son. So from a theological standpoint, what we see is that in the incarnation, I'll have to leave it at this, Scott, in the incarnation, God became man. The second person of the Trinity became one of us. So as man and God and fully human, Jesus in his humanity very often refers to my God. When he says my Father, he's saying that not only as God, but also as a man. So there's perfect cohesion, perfect harmony between his divinity and his humanity. And sometimes in the Gospels, when you see Jesus referring to things, he's emphasizing his humanity. Now, I apologize, I do have to take a break, but how about this, Scott? There is a really good book, I think you'll like it. It will be worth your time to go through it, and since you're a learned man, I think you'll find this book exceptionally helpful. It's called Theology and Sanity by Frank Sheed, and he digs into this topic in a beautiful way. I think you'll find it very helpful. So if you have a mind to go deeper, check out that book, Theology and Sanity. I'll be right back.
Changing lives in your neighborhood and across the nation. Here's another Relevant Radio Miracle Moment.
Hey, Valerie, how you doing?
I just wanted to thank you for your awesome broadcast.
The Faith Explained and the Cale Clark Show.
My 20-year-old daughter and I have been listening for the last couple months to Relevant Radio, and it has really been a tipping point for each of us to make a choice to convert from Mormonism.
Oh, wow.
And the series on the Mormon Church, that really, it's just been answering prayers. And we've been going to Mass and learning how to pray the Rosary. We start our RCIA classes in about a month. Oh. I'm almost 60 years old, and I feel like I'm restarting my spiritual walk.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you. Help us create more miracle moments with a tax-deductible donation to Relevant Radio. Tap the Relevant Radio app or give online at relevantradio.com.
Miracle moments each and every pledge drive. It just makes me feel so joyful to be a part of this. You can be a part of it too when you answer the call at relevantradio.com on the app with your smartphone or tablet, or at 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. We have an absolutely incredible gift for you today. Today and today only, we have this beautiful rosary bookmark. It is a metal bookmark, and it's got rosary beads hanging on it, made out of hematite and crystals. Absolutely gorgeous. You don't want to miss out on this. And along with it, you will also receive the book, Father Peyton's Rosary Prayer Book. And all we're asking for is $1 a day, a simple $1 a day, and you will receive the bookmark and the rosary bookmark and the book. And, you know, I was thinking, Patrick, this combination of the book and the bookmark kind of reminds me of like milk and cookies or you know, it's just a perfect match, a perfect pair. Because as you're reading your meditations in this great book from Father Peyton, you can be using your bookmark at the same time. It's gorgeous. Perfect set.
Yeah, that's right. And Father Peyton, I remember growing up, you know, when I was a kid in the 60s, he was in his heyday. And he was saying the family that prays together stays together. And it would be an understatement to say a lot of families nowadays wish they had some more unity. So this rosary bookmark will, and the book itself by Father Peyton, will be a great way to jumpstart some family unity. Even if it's just you and your husband or you and your wife praying the rosary, that has a lot of power, and it can help bring your children back home. And these are gifts we'd like to send you as a way to help jumpstart that. When you make your pledge of $1 a day, we're asking you to answer the call. And we'd love to answer your call when you call 877-291-0123. This is the third day of Pledge Drive. We have to be finished up by Friday at the end of the day. So still quite a long ways to go, but you can help us when you make your dollar a day pledge by calling 877-291-0123.
We want to say thank you to Ingrid in Las Vegas. A dollar a day. You're getting your bookmark. I tell you what, they're going fast. Paula is getting one in Biddeford, Maine. We have Margaret in Hinsdale, Illinois, making a gift of a dollar a day. Adam in Owen, Iowa, making a gift of a dollar a day. Juan in Iowa City. When they're gone, they're gone. I cannot emphasize this enough. We don't have as many of these gifts as we normally have, so don't think you can get to it later. It's not going to work like that today. Do it and do it now. Answer the call at relevantradio.com. Use the app on your smartphone or tablet or call 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. A dollar a day. You get the bookmark and the rosary book. It's all yours when you answer the call.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. 888-914-9149. That's the number to call to be on the air. It's my on-air number, and you're welcome to use it. 888-914-9149. Let's go now to Pat in Bolingbrook, Illinois. Good morning, Pat. Let's get Pat going. There she is. Okay. Hi. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. I have a quick question. I had given my daughter and her husband, who are newly married, they've been married for 5 months, and I had shared with them my St. Joseph Novena. My daughter was in the process of trying to find a new job and was having difficulty, and the Novena had worked for my husband and I. So I shared it with them, and it worked. Of course, I was not surprised. My daughter has now gotten a new job. But what happened was it brought them such joy sharing this novena together. And of course, as a mom, I'm just so excited about it. And I wanted to get some ideas of books or prayers or things that maybe they can, young married couples can do and have together so that they can continue their prayer journey.
Yeah. One book that comes to mind, it's a book that I've profited greatly from. It's by Romano Guardini. It's called The Art of Praying, Principles and Methods of Christian Prayer. And it's one of the things I really like about it is that it's simple and easy to apply in your own life. So since this couple is interested in praying and praying better and praying together, I think this would be a good place to start.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Patrick. I appreciate it.
You're most welcome. And you know what we'll do? We'll post a link to this. It's published by, this edition anyway, is published by Sophia Institute Press. And the title, again, if you want to look for it, it's called The Art of Praying, The Principles and Methods of Christian Prayer by Romano Guardini. And this is something your local Catholic bookstore can easily obtain for you if they don't already have it on the shelf.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you again, Patrick.
You're welcome. Hope you enjoy it. Thank you. Let's go to Thomas now in Jupiter, Florida. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning, Patrick.
Yes.
My question was regarding, I was reading the Doctrine of the Divine Simplicity, and I also stumbled across it within that study, this idea of act as purists that Thomas Aquinas put forth. And I'm having trouble squaring one of these circles.
Okay.
This idea that God has no potential.
Right.
He is pure act.
Right.
But this idea of pure act requires, so you would have this pure actualizer. And then I'm thinking about creation, and creation moving from, well, the idea that a pure actualizer would need something to actualize, so some kind of creation, something that isn't, you know, doesn't have this purus actus,
right?
Actus purus. So, does that mean that this creation would be eternal as well? And how does something that, you know, that's not God have this eternality?
Right. First, let me recommend a book. Yeah, it does. Let me recommend a book that can take you much farther than I can in the space of a few minutes on the radio. So let's start there. The book is called The One and the Many. The One and the Many. And it's by Norris Clark, S.J. He taught at Fordham University in the philosophy department. And it's an introduction to metaphysics. And that's what you're dealing with here, is some of the fundamentals of metaphysics. And this is really important and good stuff. So he has a whole chapter on time and what is time exactly. And that will help you understand how it is that, or at least understand better, how it is that God is outside of time. He's not within time as you and I are. And Norris Clark takes up this question of, you know, what exactly is time? Is it like a river of a procession of moments that are moving forward into the future? Did it have a beginning? And if so, how do we think about, you know, before time began? Is that even possible? And that gets to the issue of potency and act, because you're right that God is pure act. And what that means specifically is that there's nothing that God could become that he isn't already. He couldn't become smarter. He couldn't become more powerful. He couldn't become more knowledgeable. There's nothing that he doesn't have that he could gain. So when it comes to the movement or the rise from potency to act, that's where, as you already know from the readings that you've been doing, that's where the thing actualizes or is actualized to become something different than what it was. Everything's getting older. Things break into pieces. Things come into existence, they go out of existence. Things get bigger, things get smaller. Things change color. Trees die and fall down in the forest. I mean, it's endless. And everything in the universe, including the universe itself, is experiencing this continuous rise from potency to act. Well, God is outside of that. So with regard to the eternality of the universe, there are a few things we can say with certitude. Number one is that the created universe, which is everything that's not God, that's angels, men, planets, universes, etc., all of those things came into existence at a certain point because they were created by God, either directly or indirectly. And this is where that chapter on time is going to help you to understand how can we think about this, because that would suggest time also, like the time before God created these things. But we can say that the idea of you and me and the idea of everything that exists or has ever existed or will ever exist has eternally existed in the mind of God, even though the thing itself didn't come into existence in history until a certain point. But there is an eternal quality to all of creation in the mind of God, the idea of all these things that God would eventually create. So God as God from all eternity knew you. Isn't that mind-blowing? That you, the idea of you and everything that comprises you, God had this in his mind from all eternity. So there is an eternal quality in that sense. But the physical quality or the physical accidents of things, those are not eternal. And in the space of a matter of a few minutes, it's hard to really do fair justice to the topic. But does that help even just a little bit, Thomas, with the question you're asking?
It does. And I probably need to do more further study on it, but that was the first thing that came to my mind. I wanted to separate this idea that God is, because there's other people trying to make the case that God is contingent on these creations. For instance, you know, this idea of if he's always actualizing, then he has to have something to actualize, which would mean there's this God's
pre-existing. Right. And here's how we can rule that out. Whoops. Whoa. How we can rule that out, Thomas. God created everything from nothing. The things that he created directly, he created them from nothing. So God didn't require any primordial stuff from which he made anything. He brought these things, he spoke them into existence. That too is covered in the book, The One and the Many by Norris Clark. I'd love to talk to you again, Thomas. For the moment though, I've got to take a quick time out. Mary Graham is with me in studio, the middle of our pledge drive week.
Middle of the pledge drive, and we have a very special gift that's available today and today only. It is this gorgeous rosary bookmark. You do not want to miss out on this opportunity. There is a very limited number of these available today, and we will send you one along with the book from Father Peyton. It's his rosary book, and it is an incredible book with over 200 meditations on the different mysteries of the rosary, along with some beautiful pictures as well. And that's a great way to engage. If you have a hard time focusing, keeping yourself focused, or better yet, engaging your children, especially young children, give them something pretty to look at and hold and handle while you pray your rosary, they're more likely going to join you in the prayer itself. That is yours for $1 a day at relevantradio.com using the app on your smartphone or tablet, or by calling 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123.
Mary, I keep coming back to this thought when you're talking about that rosary bookmark and Father Peyton. And I grew up praying the family rosary. I remember thinking, this is boring, more than once. You know, like, why do we have to kneel down and pray the rosary? But I'll tell you, Our Lady and a devotion to Our Lady that was inculcated in me when I was a child, it really, really helped me as I grew older. And that solid foundation with Marian devotion was priceless for me, and probably saved me from who knows what kind of terrible things I could have gotten myself into. So that's one reason. I want to really emphasize what you're saying for people listening as we're asking you to answer the call and make your pledge by going to relevantradio.com or use the Relevant Radio app or call 877-291-0123. What I'd like to emphasize is I know from experience that if you develop a devotion to Our Lady, if you pray the rosary every day, if you teach your children to pray the rosary every day, even if, you know, maybe your kids are grown up now, pray for them every day. The rosary is powerful. St. Padre Pio calls it a weapon against vice and disunity and other problems that probably exist in your life, like they do in mine and everyone else's. So this is an opportunity today only, when you make your pledge of $1 a day, to obtain this beautiful sacramental, this rosary bookmark, and the book by none other than Father Peyton, who will explain it to you in a way that you'll find very powerful. I feel really called to emphasize my own experience growing up, and I want that for you. So make the call and get your rosary bookmark and the book by Father Peyton, $1 a day or more, 877-291-0123.
Yeah, and just because you're not seeing an instant transformation in your kids at that moment in time, don't underestimate the power of that prayer. It sinks in eventually, I promise.
Yeah, that's
we want to say thank you to Laura in Bakersfield. $1 a day, you're getting your rosary and your book. We have Julie in Milpitas, California.
Right.
Thank you for that, Patrick. I needed that help. $1 a day. Janice in San Diego, $1 a day. We have an anonymous donor in Clear Lake, Minnesota, made that special gift of $1 a day. And we actually had a very generous gift come in here not too long ago. I just lost it. There it is. Laura in Glendale, Arizona, made a gift of over $4,000.
Oh, wow.
Thank you so much.
Beautiful.
And we can, yes, we need those on a regular basis. So if you're in a position that you can make that special gift of $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, we need to hear from you today at relevantradio.com using the app on your smartphone or tablet, or by calling 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. Another fun gift that came in, we had an anonymous donor in New Albany, NS. I believe that's Nova Scotia up in Canada. Mm. Thank you for your special gift of $20.
Yeah, thank you. Wow, I love this. We're international. I'd like to say a big shout out to Robert in Duxbury, Massachusetts, for his wonderful gift of $500. We sure appreciate that. Doug in Barrington, Kansas, your gift of $374 is going to go a long way, a long, long way. And Russell in Hennessy Park, Illinois, I hope I'm saying that correctly, with his gift of $365, $1 a day, right on the nose. That's great. Thank you to all of you for your wonderful gifts. We sure appreciate them.
$1 a day is all we are asking today. We'll send you this great book from Father Peyton, the Rosary Book, and this incredible rosary bookmark. I cannot explain how gorgeous it is. Words just do not do it justice. It's a metal bookmark, and it's got a gorgeous one-decade rosary connected to it, made out of hematite beads and crystal. It's a great inspiration for you while you're praying. At relevantradio.com, using the app is how you reach out and answer the call.